Good afternoon. This is KTOO in Juneau, and I'm Clarice Larson. Social service providers in Juneau say they're worried about fallout if the Juneau Assembly decides to cut city funding that supports some of Juneau's most critical social services. On Monday night, multiple providers testified during the Assembly's regular meeting to advocate for the city's continued funding of social service grants. Kaya Quinto is the executive director of the Juneau Housing First Collaborative, also known as Glory Hall Homeless Shelter. The shelter offers more than 15,000 emergency beds and serves over 60,000 meals to patrons in Juneau each year. Quinto says the shelter relies on the Assembly's funding to provide its services to Juneau.
These funds are crucial and essential services cannot be provided without them. We cannot afford to lose these critical safety net programs.
Each year in the city's budget since 2016, the Assembly has provided a block of funding to the Juneau Community Foundation. The foundation then combines it with additional funding from its Hope Endowment Program and disperses the funds as grants to organizations in Juneau that address critical social issues such as homelessness, food insecurity, suicide, and substance misuse. But this budget season, the Juneau Assembly is faced with a multi-million dollar budget shortfall, which will likely result in some cuts to city services. Last year, the Assembly approved just over $2 million toward these social service grants, but providers are concerned that some of that funding could now be at risk. Quinto and other representatives from social services, including Jamie Health and Wellness, Southeast Alaska Food Bank, and Catholic Community Services, testified at the meeting. Dan Park, the executive director of the Southeast Alaska Food Bank, says demand is at a record high. He says a cut to social services would have a negative ripple effect throughout the community.
Hunger doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's an indicator, a canary in the coal mine, if you will, of other social ills.
The Juneau Assembly will begin budget decisions, including any cuts to services, once the city manager releases the draft budget this month. This is KTOO. Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Juneau Assembly decided Monday night to sign an agreement with the federal government for a buyout of U Drive, the street hit hardest by annual glacial outburst flooding. That's after some city leaders met with residents and found more interest than an informal city poll indicated last month. Assemblymember Paul Kelly said he attended the meeting with about two dozen residents on March 3rd. He estimates a majority seemed interested in the program once they understood they could still opt out after their property has been appraised.
I feel like we had a very productive dialogue that helped correct a little bit of misunderstanding and might have changed some minds.
The buyout program would be sponsored by the Natural Resources Conservation Service, which would cover three quarters of the cost to purchase the real estate, demolish the homes, and turn the land into a park. The city has asked residents who opt in to cover the other quarter of the total project using hundreds of thousands of dollars from their home payouts. 18 homes on View Drive are located beyond the temporary levee the city built last year, and many were slammed by the record flood last summer. If all 18 properties opt in to a buyout, the total program would cost an estimated $25 million. But the program could move forward with just some properties. Although the Assembly passed a motion to sign a formal agreement with the NRCS, that doesn't necessarily mean the project is a go. During the Monday Assembly meeting, Assemblymember Christine Wall said nothing is official without an ordinance appropriating about $500,000 to appraise the properties.
But we can't actually do anything until we pass the ordinance. So we could basically get out of that agreement or not spend any money if that ordinance fails.
Mayor Beth Weldon said she told View Drive residents that if the Assembly decides to appraise the properties, the city funding for the project might end there.
And they may have to foot the rest of the bill. So we were very transparent.
If the buyout moves forward, those residents would leave the street before the next glacial outburst flood expected this summer. And the Juneau School Board has a regular meeting tonight to discuss next year's budget and a contract with its support staff union. The public has an opportunity to comment in person or over Zoom. The district reached a tentative agreement with the Juneau Education Support Staff, or JESS, last week. The school board is holding the first of two readings to ratify the contract, which includes increases to wages and health insurance contributions. The district folded those changes into its proposed budget for next year. The board could approve that budget tonight, but it has until Thursday to do so. The updated budget includes funding for a counselor position for Homebridge, a health assistant, and the additional cost for Jess's tentative agreement. It also includes an updated method to the way the district calculates staff. It's estimated that may produce more teaching positions at Thunder Mountain Middle School and Juneau Douglas High School, Yadaakathle. The updated budget leaves a $5.1 million deficit that would need to be filled by district savings if approved. The union's tentative agreement, if approved, would also affect the current school year's budget. The school board will consider approving those changes as well. Before its meeting, the board will hold a closed meeting to discuss collective bargaining and selecting a new superintendent. The regular school board meeting will take place tonight at 6 p.m. at the Thunder Mountain Middle School Library and over Zoom. The public will have the opportunity to comment on agenda items in person and online. And Alaska students could have a new graduation requirement in the not-too-distant future. The Alaska Senate unanimously passed a bill yesterday that would mandate a new civics course or exam for high schoolers starting in 2027. It's a longtime priority for Senate President Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican. Here he is describing it to the Senate Finance Committee earlier this month.
What it really is all about is creating citizens. It goes back to George Washington. When he left as president, he said, our job is to make sure that our young people become citizens, they become voters.
The retired professor has made civic engagement a priority for much of his quarter-century career in the legislature. In 2016, Stevens led the legislature to pass a resolution aiming to assess and improve the state's civic education in public schools. The bill directs the State Board of Education to come up with a curriculum covering various aspects of government and politics. The bill initially aimed to prepare students to pass the test the U.S. gives to naturalized citizens. To reduce costs, the version that passed the Senate instead directs the state school board to come up with curriculum and a civics test based on freely available materials. The state education department estimates it cost roughly $840,000 in its first year as the department develops the program. The bill faced no significant opposition from lawmakers or the public, including Democrats and Republicans as co-sponsors. Senators have passed similar bills twice over the past 5 years, but they've died in the House without a vote. Stephen says he's optimistic the House will pass the bill in his final year in office, and if not, he'll find someone else to carry the bill again next year. And a trial date for a lawsuit between the Juneau School District and its support staff union won't be decided on for another 6 months. Juneau Education Support Staff, or JESS, sued the district last September, arguing the district didn't follow its contract with the union when it ended Rally, the district's after-school and summer childcare program. The district ended Rally last August and leased space to private provider Auk Lake Preschool to run its own program. Rally used to be staffed by JESS employees. The union claims the district should have followed its contract and done an investigation to see if work done by JESS employees would be cheaper with a contractor. The district claims it followed the terms of the contract and reassigned former Rally staff to other district positions. During a trial-setting conference Monday, both parties agreed to delay setting a date, since arbitration on the same issue is expected to take place beforehand. In addition to suing the district, the union is following a grievance process that has now escalated to arbitration. An arbitrator would hear both sides and issue a binding statement. Jeff Casper is the business manager at the Alaska Public Employees Association, which is the parent union for JESS. While it's not common, he says the union decided to go through the grievance process and a lawsuit at the same time.
Within the terms of the collective bargaining agreement, it's hard to award punitive damages. So that's kind of why we filed the concurrent lawsuit, is that if we prevail, we're going to be seeking damages.
The complaint filed by Jess says the amount of damages will be determined during the trial. Another trial-setting conference is scheduled for September 9th. And for the arbitration process, Casper says an arbitrator and hearing date have not been selected yet. And about 36 sled dog teams are on the 1,000-mile Iditarod Trail to Nome as part of this year's race, and thousands of people around the world are following along. Some of the spectators are kids participating in the Iditarod Challenge. And as Alaska Public Media's Ava White reports, that includes Anchorage students counting each minute spent with a book as a mile on the trail.
Girdwood sixth grader Solstice Martin has been reading along the trail for a few years now and loves to read anything adventurous.
I have some really interesting books that I'm into at home. Right now I'm reading some books from the Charlie Thorne series, and I'm on the second book.
The names of the nearly 24 Iditarod checkpoints line the wall near the school library, and each student has a dog sled with their picture on it. As the students read, their trail mileage racks up and their sled moves along the trail, checkpoint to checkpoint. Just like the Iditarod teams, their goal is to make it to Nome. It's only a couple days into the month, and Solstice is in the lead. Her sled is in cripple, meaning she's already read more than 425 minutes. It hasn't been hard for the 11-year-old.
Then it gives me an excuse to stay up all night and read.
The Girdwood School has been participating in the Iditarod for almost 20 years. Students started the challenge on March 1st and will continue through the end of the month when they're then celebrated with a party. The race trail is 1,000 miles, but Girdwood is along the 2,300-mile Iditarod National Historic Trail that stretches from Seward to Nome. It was used extensively during the Gold Rush era. Now, the route is primarily used for recreation and long-distance winter races. Girdwood librarian Megan Nedwick says that personal connection to their town gets students hooked, and they get more out of the program than reading.
Just like when the real mushers are racing, they have certain things they have to meet at each checkpoint, whether it's what they have in their sled or how long they're staying at that checkpoint. You know, there's rules. And so it's the same way with the Iditarod. And I always encourage them, like, do this because you want to do it and do it right. You know, do it with integrity and make sure you're honest.
Longtime Iditarod musher D.D. Jeanreau agrees. Her late mother, Peggy Stout, was an educator for more than 50 years and is the first known to hold an Iditarod challenge starting in the 1980s. Jeanreau says her mother was a bookworm who wanted to motivate young students.
Kids were excited about dog mushing. So she got the idea of if they could do a competition that somehow would unite the two excitements, that maybe she could get more kids to read more. That was her whole goal.
Jeanreau says you're never too old to be a learner. It's a message she hopes students take to heart, inspired by a piece of advice the late sprint champion George Atla gave her during a sled dog race early in her career.
George goes, you know, there's always something you can learn from anybody. And you're never too old to learn, and you never know enough.
In Anchorage, I'm Ava White.
This is KTOO. I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in.